1, chapter 15. pages in the New Testament. John chapter 15, 174 pages. John chapter 15, from verse 9, I will read. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in me, in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Okay, by here. We have kept studying John in the morning fellowship. And last week we had a Bible seminars. I believe for over several weeks, we have studied other themes, other things for those who have newly born again. So we came back to John 15 to study. I think, you know, all the Bible, 66 books of the Bible is all important, but the most important Bible that we should pick is the, definitely I can say it is John, Book of John. The reason behind this is because John is written all about the Jesus Christ. From Genesis to the end of Bible books, we believe the key point is the Jesus Christ. And so the most important thing is to deliver about the Jesus Christ from the Bible. So Bible has described the Jesus Christ very, very deeply, and which we call a Book of John, has been written about the Jesus Christ very thoughtfully and deeply. We have four gospel books, and among these four gospel books, I believe you know John has described the most about the Jesus Christ. So I think the Book of John is very important to learn. So if you learn in detail about the Book of John, then you will be able to learn overall about the Bibles. So there is no Bible book that has been separated. So if you learn one book of Bible, then you will be able to learn other Bibles as well. So, because there are many full of the stories about Jesus Christ. So, if you learn book of John, then you'll be able to figure out what this Bible is overall about this Bible. And also the verses, each verses written in the John, Book of John explains about the Jesus Christ and the relationship between the Jesus Christ and us. And also, And also there's written about ourselves, that who we are. In Greek it says ego, ego. In English it can't be like I am. So John chapter 16 says, I am the life. And chapter 8 of John says, Jesus Christ says, I am the light. And also he described as well as a door. John chapter 11 says, I am a resurrection and life. And John chapter 14, it says, I am the way and the truth and life. And chapter 15, it says about the Jesus Christ. He's a true vine. He's a true vine, and you are the branches. That's what he says in chapter 15. And the relationship between God and us. And the purpose of God, the purpose of God's creation of man is to have a relationship between God and us. Jesus Christ has crucified on the cross, and then he saved us, and we could have his bread, so we could be saved. We were actually living under the darkness, but Jesus Christ has lighted us, so we could be with the God. And Jesus Christ also, he became like the Lamb of Door. He crucified on the cross, and he shed his blood, and it's like, you know, the Israelites has put their the blood of lamb on the door in Passover. So as it is, it's the precious blood is always telling about the way that we could go to we could be close to the Jesus Christ. So he explained about the door, and then the door can give you the way to the Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has saved us, and he made us his lamb. So he's the one who sacrificed his life for us, and he became. So that's why he says he is resurrection and life. He never ever died eternally, but he are alive again and gave us a life of a hope of life. And he became our ways, our truths. And also, while we're living here, he is the real vine, and we are the branches that we abide in him. If these branches abide in the vine, then it will be produced by, and will bear the fruit. So it says here, if I abide in him, then this man can bear a lot of fruit. So we can glorify to the God that by bearing a lot of fruit. So Christian life is like abide in the Lord and produced by the God and bear a lot of fruits. That's what we call Christian life. So John chapter 15 said about all the things here. But now we just read the verses. It's about that Jesus Christ said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So abide in my love is like we abide in his life. His fruitful, we should abide in his fruitful mercies. If you take a look in the chapter, verse 7, it says here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, it says here like this. John chapter 15, verse 4 says, abide in me, I in you. So whenever we stay, we remain in the Lord, then Lord will make us change, and also he produce merciful the life. So if I abide in him and we if we abide in him means that we all remain in his word. When every day we listen to the Bible and try to keep the command that he commanded us. That's what we call Christian life. So John chapter 1, so anointing you with the oil by the Holy Spirit will teach you all the things that Jesus Christ tried to teach you. And so that these kind of things always makes us not to be stumbled or shameful when we stand before the God Lord. So whenever we remain in the God, there is a teaching from the God, teaching of Jesus Christ. So abiding in him is like abiding in the Word. But we could apart from him, just a little child has been born, and if this child lost his way, then maybe he thought that it's tedious to live with their parents, and he went away by himself. But actually, a child doesn't have that kind of knowledge. Or if men run away from their parents like animals, they got born, they went away from their parents by themselves. But the man doesn't have any power to do. But even though we are saved, our inner man is still tired, but our outward is still full of flesh. So even though we are saved, we can be apart from the Lord. So our flesh doesn't want it to remain in him and want it to live by ourselves, and still we have our former characters. So little child, if little child grew up, and if they are aged enough to live by himself, then he could leave their parents. Maybe they be very against to the parents and try not to listen to the parents. If this little child grow up and he believes he can live by himself, then probably they will be turn away from their parents. Well, actually, I once had a cargo train, and this cargo train did not depart, so I couldn't go where I should go. It's like kind of that kind of rebellion, like if they apart from the parents, they live like beggars, and sometimes they be like orphans. Some child is living in the rich, under rich parents, and then if this man is very full of wealth, then he try not to listen to their parents. Then he probably believes that he could live by himself apart from the parents, but he will not be able to. But this child will not be able to be supported by the words, the love from their parents. So as it is, born again Christians, if they live apart from their father, then they will not be able to be produced by the God. So Bible says, verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you, abide in my love. So whenever we have loved by the God, then means that we understood the love of God, and now we live according to the God. So Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, those who have been loved by God, says, the born-again Christian is always beloved by God. They are eternally beloved by God. The love of God is too grand and big, huge. So those who remain in the love of God will not be perished. So they are still only the love of God. Only love of God will keep us from difficulties and hardships in this world. So only what we should do is remain in the love of God. So it says here, I also have loved you, abide in my love. So, abide in my love. So little child, when this child actually, little baby was supported by the God, by their mother, even when he was in mother's womb. So it's like apart from their the womb of their parents is like their betraying of love of parents. We should live in the love. We should live in the love of God. But we may leave, we may depart from the love of God. So that's why God is commanding you to abide in His love. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. In order to abide in God's love, God has loved us firstly, and we should understand that God has loved us. When we were saved, we understood the love of God, right? God has loved this world like this. How like this? Like, He sent His one and only Son and crucified Him. And that's what we call love of God. When we were under sin, when we were lost and depart from the God, and when we were enemy against God, but God has loved us. We were against God as enemies, but God has loved us. All the things that Jesus Christ has done for us to be saved is because He loved us very much. God has loved us so much. God has loved this the sinners very much because we were created in the image of the God. There is no reason. Even though we are ugly, we doesn't really listen to the Bible, but He loves us because we have received His life. We are still connected with Him, so that's why He loves us. Why this God loves the sinners? Those sinners who has been once been against as enemies toward God, but God has loved us because He has created in the image of Him. So that's why He loves us very much. He sent His one and only Son and crucified on the cross, Christ, so to make salvation of the unbelievers. So God wants us to have eternal life. So John 1 John chapter 4 says, God has showed His love like this, and He sent His one and only Son this world, and He wants us to live in the Lord. So Jesus Christ has loved us. And He abandoned His glorified thrones, and He came to this this world, and then He was born in a this world, and He has suffered all the difficulties that human beings has suffered. Even though He didn't have any sins, didn't commit any sins, but He died very crucially on the cross. He abandoned all His life, and He shedded all His blood because He loved us. Because He loved us, He killed Himself, and He threw out all His belongings to save those sinners. Jesus Christ has to save our ourselves from the eternal deaths. So that's why he sacrificed all himself, because it's because of the love of God, because God loved us. The Roman chapter 5 verse 8. Roman chapter, let's go to Roman chapter 5. Verse 7 to 8 says here, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. Also the burglars, you know, who are jailed, and he was about to be sentenced, and there shouldn't be anyone who could volunteer to die for him. So it says here, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. No one will die for the sinners. But when we were sinners, when we were against God, God, Jesus Christ, has died for us, and God has showed his love toward us. God demonstrates his own love toward us. You know how he loves us. He showed his love to us, but we don't understand he's full of love. We can't express all this love of God, and he came to this our lower the earth and to save the sinners, and he sent his one and only son, and he let us be he made his son, one and only son, ransom, and he sacrificed his son. So we can't, it's inexpressible, and it's incalculable, the love of God. Even, you know, their children cannot understand the love of their parents. In the parents' day, we always sing our parents' song that the love of God parents is highest, the most highest, and there is nothing higher than the parents' God. But even they sing those kind of song, but when they go back to home and they steal against their parents. But this, you know, man grew up as an adult, and when they get married and have a child, then they will understand their parents' hurt. But when they experience all this, then, you know, their parents will be passed away. So how about us? We think and we say something about the love of God, but we don't understand the love of God. It's very it's grand, and it's a huge love, and it's deeper than the sea, and higher than the sky. The love of God is the greatest. And we are the children of the God, and how we could keep this kind of love. Although we were saved, but we don't really understand God fully. So we partially understood the love of God. Thus, when we were sinners, Jesus Christ has died for us. And Jesus Christ, God has, the one and only Son has died for these sinners. And he died for the sinners in this world. And God has allowed this. Do you understand this? Do you understand this kind of fact? very hard to understand. Someone has been sinned and he was to be jailed and he was to be sentenced, but there is no one who can volunteer to provide their sons to die for him. But God has actually, he sacrificed his one and only son, and he gave us his son to save us. Jesus Christ has come here to make love. He was the righteous man, and he became, instead of this unrighteous man. Bible says here, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So Jesus Christ came here to raise us up to his kingdom of heaven. So he demonstrates his love toward us. So when we were saved, the Holy Spirit made us to understand the love of God. Okay, let's read the chapter 5, verse 5, and read again in Romans, chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the sinners who were to put to hell became like glorified and became children of God. But this can be also done by the love of God. Well, let's say there is a party that and beggars came to the party, and then the people in the party asked him to sit here and join with us, but he will not join with us. Maybe he will probably rather to prefer to go to, some of the dirty, filthy places. So if God asks us to to go to heaven, that we cannot go to heaven because we know that we are the wicked sinners. But if this, actually, the wicked sinner, just like us, has qualified to go to heaven, means that we understood the love of God and we became the children of the God, and God made us not to be shameful to enter into the heaven, and so he gave us eternal hope. And all these things can be done with the love of God. So this love of God gave us conviction of the salvations. And when this Holy Spirit came to us, we understood the love of God. So, the purpose of God made us a salvation is that to love us. God has shed his precious blood and saved us and made us his children. And this love, because of this love, and we can live with him. Since we were saved, we are abiding in him, and he is abiding in us. To Jacob, to chapter 4, verse 5, it says, God, Holy Spirit actually got jealously loved us very much, and the Holy Spirit came to our hearts and loved us very much. So Holy Spirit is like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has resurrected and lived again, and he came to us as a spirit, and this Holy Spirit loved us even jealously. He loved us. Sometimes some people says, his wife is very pretty and very good wife, and this husband actually became like a boastful because of her wife. And this husband has a proud of his wife because his wife is so beautiful that other people other people can go out with his wife. So I think it's very foolish. This man is very foolish. This is not like love. He's like trying to have love of by himself. So, you know, if this, you know, husband doesn't have any thought of his wife, even though his wife is going out with other men, it can't be called like a love. Maybe he can love. Maybe he could go out with the other girls. So we don't think that this is kind of love. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, if you love other than Holy Spirit, if you love more than Jesus Christ or Holy Spirit, then Holy Spirit will get jealousy on you. So Holy Spirit is always stays with us, even though we are foolish or silly and doesn't know much about Him, but He loved us at any rate. And the Lord will come to here and then will take us to His kingdom and He's asking us to live in His kingdom eternally. The born-again Christians actually have citizenships of heaven. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 says, you know, husband, love wife just like God has loved you. So the born-again Christians can be called church. So in order to love born-again Christians, He has sacrificed His life. So one husband and wife can't be compared to the born-again Christians and church. So Jesus Christ is the husband and wife is born-again Christians. So God has saved us because He wanted to be make us to His wife. So He poured out all the love of God. So husband, as God has glorified by God, we also will be glorified just like Jesus Christ. You know that angels cannot be wife of Jesus Christ. Even angel is glorified, but he cannot be as much as born again Christians. So when we go to heaven, then angels will be servant of ours. So we will be like queens, or that we can be glorified with Jesus Christ. And also He raised us in the glory of God. And God has loved us. And He saved us. And He made us His wife. He led us to live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. All these things can be done by love of God. God has loved us, I will love you. So God, you know how God loved His one and only Son? Even when Jesus Christ was baptized in Jordan River, says, "This is my lovely Son." That's what God said to the Jesus Christ. And then He sacrificed His one and only Son to the sinners. Even He loved very much about His Son. Just as God loved us, I will love you. That's what it says. And the love, we were beloved with that effort. Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 4 and 5. Let's read together. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. So, His love is very fruitful, it's very large, it's great love. The great love came to my heart and lighted, and I'm praised of that to the Lord. The greatest love came to my heart and gave me comfort and happiness in my heart. Even though you're born again Christians, but your heart is not happy, but God will recover you. God will make you get better off. If you're not happy with God, even though you're born again Christian, then you should return to the cross. You should remind the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, even though you're born again Christians. But if you don't have any rejoices or thankful to the God, or depressed, or doesn't really willing to live according to the God's will, and your love has been depressed, then you should recover your love of God, love of Jesus Christ. Love of Jesus Christ gives you the thankful and the peace and the confidence and the passions to live according to God. So this love of, you should recover the love of Jesus Christ. This love of Christ actually saved us. This great love made us to live with Jesus Christ. So St. Paul says, he wrote under the Colossians, I will leave the faces with the God who loved me and sacrificed. God has loved us and God has sacrificed himself for me, and I will live with that God. That's what St. Paul says on the Colossians. But if born-again Christians should boost it up, this kind of love of God, but if you do not, then, or forget about the love of God and abandon the love that you have received firstly from Jesus Christ, and well, we should live on behalf of the gospel, and we should even lay down our lives because of the love of God. So, if your passions of love of God has been eased down or calmed down, then you should remind the love of God again. Well, if you go to like manufacturing a plant or the factory, then you will see some kind of machines that goes like with the big sounds going up and down, up and down. And just as the power that this machine have and to move out the the heavy things and heavy loads, we should live like that kind of engines. We should run toward the God, toward the God, because of love of Jesus Christ. You know, this parents has a love. Woman is weak, but mother is strong. Even this wife who truly depend on his husband. But if she, even though she lost his husband, she will have a kind of a big plan, whether to make herself, to raise their kids, and to they make a strong decision to leave, to raise their children because of love of their children. So love makes them very strong. So they may die for their children. So, but man is weak, but Jesus Christ is strong. But Jesus Christ has love, so we can, his love make us lay down our lives for him. We are living on behalf of him, and we are dying on behalf of him. So it's because we have his love in our hearts, and Jesus Christ has taught his love of God, and the love, it's like agape love. It says agape love. The man's love is still unstable. It's not perfect. Like, there's a lot of love, eros love, but the love of God is the perfect, it's great. So which we call agape love. It's a definite love, unmeasurable love, and it's a sincere and holy and perfect love, and never ever changed eternally. And the love of God, we should never ever forget about this love that God gave us. So you should make it fulfill in your heart every day and night. So you could be sucked in, you could be saturated the love of God. So this love of God will control you, will govern over you. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, it says here, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So if you get more understand about the love of God, then He loves me, and it is written in the Bible. So if you love, the more you love God, the more you understand the love of God and the Bible. Even though He came from the highest and came to the lowest, and then He raised these sinners to raise these sinners. So no sinners will be perished with this love. So love will not be perished, will not be turned off. Then the more you understand this knowledge of love of God, then you will be filled with God. Some Christians have seen like this. Even though, you know, we may not write all the things about the love of God, even, you know, these becomes like with a dark paint, and even, you know, this sky is like a kind of sketches that we can draw pictures, draw or write things on the sky, but we can't write all the things about the love of God. So it's very surprising love, and this surprising love came to us. John chapter 4 verse 15, it says, we knew the love of God, and that we believed the love of God. We knew the love of God, and we believed the love of God. So that's what we call love of God. God has loved us, so we love Him. 1 John chapter 1 verse 10, it says, He loved us first, and we love Him because God loved us first. When we were sinners, when we were apart from Him, when we were lost, and when we became enemies against Him, but God has loved us. The love has saved us and purified us with the precious blood of God, Jesus Christ, and He bought us and He made us His wife. When Jesus Christ comes to this world, we will have a party, like a marriage, and this bridegroom will be prepared for the bride. And Jesus Christ has gave us a cross to wear with a sincere crosses, and made us sincere, a holy bridegroom. So the Apostle Paul says, you know, he's just intermediate the us and Jesus Christ, right? So Jesus Christ made us for us to enter into the kingdom, His party, His house. Jesus Christ has loved us, so that's why we love Jesus Christ, and He redeemed us, and He crucified on the cross to redeem us. Jesus Christ has loved us. I'm so happy and rejoicing. Jesus Christ loved us. I'm still happy. Whenever you understand the love of God, you will be very pleased, even though you don't have anything, even though you are still lack of your riches, but you will never get bored, never get dragged, but you are full of, you will be filled with love of God. I'm sorry. So try to find out when you get depressed, the love of God. Find out the reason why. Jesus Christ has loved us in the light. He has sacrificed me, and even though I die for him like 100 times, but I cannot repay him. So it's like this, you know, you should have a kind of thankful to him and try to pray to him to have love of God and to recover. But if your love has been cooled down, then you will not be able to have a right Christian life. So always remind love of God, that love of God has binded us with him and us. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 14, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 15.
For the love of Christ.
For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. It's verse 14, sorry. For the love of Christ constrains us. For the love of Christ constrains us. Constrains us means that we are like bind. I mean, we were tied, and we became like POW. Oh, Jesus Christ! You know, for the love of Christ that constrains us, we were captured by the love of God. Jesus Christ asked Peter. Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these peoples? Peter actually denied the 3 times of Jesus Christ, even though he made an oath of Jesus Christ to love. But he did not say any, but Jesus Christ did not blame him, even though he betrayed him like 3 times. He forgave all his sins. He saved the Jesus Christ loved Peter, and he saved him regardless of his sins he has committed. Do you love me? Even do you love me more than these peoples? Because Peter actually swayed that that he would love him. Even though you told me that you will love more than these peoples, why you don't love me? That's what Jesus Christ asked him. So Peter actually replied to him that you will know that I love you even more than other peoples. Even though he had that kind of witness, but he did not keep it. He did not keep his promises. Even though he told him, like, three times he confessed that, you know, yes, I love you, yes, I love you. And Jesus Christ said, okay, then follow me, just like a lamb. And Jesus Christ asking you, do you love me? How do you love me? How much do you love me? Yes, I love you. We even more than all. I love you more than the things in the world, because you sacrificed me and you shed all your precious blood and you loved me. So that's why I love you. And we cannot, even though we can repay all the love that God gave us, but we try to live according to you, so we can, we are belong to you. Whether I die or live, but I will live according to you. That's our confession. In the old times, you know, kings, you know, loves their servants, and even though they have even though they are not perfect, but kings love their servants. And these servants always be faithful to their kings because of that love. Whenever we think about the love that God gave us, we cannot repay, even though we die like 100 times. So, for the love of Christ constrains us, I think it's natural things. Because we judge others. And if one died for all, then all died. So, for the love of Christ constrains us. We were tied with this love. God has tied us with His love. Even though we met strangers, but like one woman and man met together, even though they're strangers before it, but they live forever. God has saved us like, wicked sinners like us, but He made us His wife. Those who combined with Jesus Christ will become one spirit. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 6, it says, will be one spirit when you combine with Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Okay, let's read verse 35 together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Even tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, and nakedness, peril, or sword. Even though we were cut by a sword, but they cannot separate us from the love of God. Okay, let's jump up to from verse 37 to 39. Okay, let's read together. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Nor hate, nor death, nor any other created things, shall, or even angels. Nothing can be separate us from the love of God. Who can separate us from the love of God? There's no one. No one can separate us from the love of God. Can you answer these verses in your heart? Like, yes, there's nothing can be, separate us from the love of God. The salvation is like receiving love of God, and the Christian life is after born again, after salvation, and the Christian life will be led by the love of God. We love Jesus Christ. And then, that's why we worship Him, and we do something that He asked for us to do. There's no other reason. We don't really think about the others, what they do, but Jesus Christ loved us, loved me, and He is living with me, and He will take me to His kingdom, and He will love me, so that's why I love Him. And I will, even though I lose everything, but I will be pleased. Jesus Christ has thrown, he abandoned all the things He had. So I can throw out all the things I have to sacrifice for Him. Okay, let's go to Song of Solomon. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. Song of Solomon. Chapter 8, verse 7. Page 964. Let's read together.
Many
waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for her love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. So this many, the quench love. Quench love is like Jesus Christ has loved us. The many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. Even, you know, floods cannot, you know, replace with love. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. You know, if there's a one man and woman, and the other man came to the woman, and then I would give you all these wealths, then can you love me instead of the your fiance? Then he would not love him then because of that wealth. So if it is Jesus Christ has a, he abandoned his glory, and he came to this world and he loved us and sacrificed himself. We receive the love of Jesus Christ. Now we should carry out the love of Jesus Christ. Abiding Jesus Christ's love is what? We should do something for him. The born again Christians will abide in the love of God, and now we abide in his love by keeping his commandments, and we should verify that we are abide in the love of Jesus Christ. We should prove it to the people. And we should prove to the people by carrying out the love of God and showing the love of God to the people. So Jesus Christ always says, we should abide in the love of God. We should always remain in the love of God. Always think about love of Jesus Christ. Always be saturated with the love of God. Okay, let's go back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. His Father loved me, so I will keep his commandments and I will abide in his love. God has loved the one and only his Son, and just Jesus Christ always obeyed to the word of God, and he always abided in the love of God. Just children should abide in the love of their parents. Why? Because parents, what, in order to do all these things is what? Abide in the love of God. Those who receive the love of their parents should stay with their parents. I think it's natural things. So the parents love them, so they obey to the parents. So Jesus Christ loved us, and we loved him. So that's why we keep his commandments, because he loved us. So it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So those who abide in his love should keep his commandments. What's his commandments? Let's read the verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So my commandment is love one another as I have loved you. just as Father loved me, I also have loved you. As I loved you, you should love one another. I will give you new commandments. Love one another. So Jesus Christ says, I will give you new commandments. Love one another. If you love one another, then all the people will believe you that you are disciples of Jesus Christ. So we should love one another. The brothers, the one another, the people, it can't be like brothers who receive the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's disciples has followed Jesus Christ for 3 years and they learned about him. And they asked them, if Jesus Christ became king, who will be the most high? And they were struggling each other and fought each other. And Jesus Christ says, love one another. I will give you new commandments. Love one another. But they did not love one another, even though Jesus Christ uttered them several times. So they were exalted. They were, they became arrogant, haughty. And before they understood the love of Jesus Christ, ahead of crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they did not understand the love of Jesus Christ. They loved Jesus. Jesus Christ loved them. You know, there shouldn't be fight. There shouldn't be haughty mind. There shouldn't be arrogant. You know, love does not, you know, love is not exalted. No, love is not, it's not haughty. So, he has sacrificed for us, so that's why we love one another, sir. It is, just as Jesus Christ has loved us, just as he sacrificed himself for us, we should love one another. We should sacrifice ourselves to our lover, beloved brothers and sisters. The old command is what? The old command is love with all your hearts. Love God with all your hearts. That's old command. New commandments is what? I loved you. I loved you. So I gave you love. So with this love, now you should show the love to the people. Because we received the love from him. Now we should. Now it's time to share the love that we received from the Jesus Christ. Even though we, you know, love one another, it's still not lack of it. Just as I love you, love one another. Then, if you love one another, then people will know that we are the disciples of the Jesus Christ. So, you know, by loving, you know, brothers, we may understand that we were saved. Well, what is the evidence of the salvation? The evidence of the salvation is to love one another. Love brothers and sisters who are born again Christian. If you are dull, or if you are if you think that it has nothing to do with me to love brothers and sisters, then you will not be. You are actually nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Maybe we say, you know, good words to brothers, sisters, greeting, you know, brothers, sisters when you see together, you know, say like hello and bye, goodbye, those kind of things. Do you think it is love? You know, just saying hello and goodbye and how are you and this, you know, routine, you know, words saying to the brothers, sisters, you know. I think it's, well, just saying those kind of things is not a love of Jesus Christ. When you go abroad, when you go some other place and you see the born-again Christians, then, you know, you'd be very, very pleased, very, very surprised. You know, whether he is good-looking or bad-looking, whether it doesn't matter with their appearances, but if they are born-again Christians, you know, they are our brothers, and they're binded with us, and they have a power to deliver this kind of love of Jesus Christ. But if born-again Christians, you know, if they leave, like, you know, maybe some of the places, maybe if he can't take care of all the born-again Christians here, but in that case, it can't be okay. But if you see, you know, the born again Christians around you, who's sitting next to you, you know, or those born again Christians who are having fellowship here, you know, then you should help each other, one another, and love one another. You know, if you see some born again Christians in your region or in your place, but don't never ask that whether he's a born again Christian or not. But or you're saying like, you know, ask them, you know, if you're really born again Christian, then why don't you confess the testimony to me so we can verify whether you're born again Christians? Don't do like this kind of, don't ask like this kind of inquiries. Then they'll be very upset about you. So do not do like that. I think it's unwise to do such a things. So do not try to verify whether he's a born again Christian or not. Don't try to find out. Just leave him as he were and as he was, and just try to bring him to the fellowship, or just bring him to the love of God, then he will able to be recognized whether he is born again Christian or not. So just, you know, to look around people and whether they're our brothers or sisters testified, or face and suffering from the temptations, or maybe they have financial problems. So, you know, this kind of difficulties maybe make them, you know, to be stumbled. So we should help them out. So try to look those brothers and sisters who are in trouble, not only by mouth, but also but by our deeds, we should help our brothers and sisters. So whenever we need your brothers need the financial problems, then we should try to solve that out. But our, you know, flesh actually doesn't try to do like this, you know. We have a fresh mind in our heart. But if we are abiding full of the love of Jesus Christ, then we try to help them out. I mean, we try to share things that we belong, things that we have. The born again Christians is the priority thing that we should help them. Course, there's a, you know, even though they have a, you know, power, but there is laziness doesn't make him to work hard. Those who have power, but doesn't try to work hard, then don't give any food to him. That's what Bible says here. If he is still his lack of his riches or wealth, then he's starved or diseased, or if there is anyone who's in trouble, then we should help them out. So try to find out those who are in troubles in your brothers and sisters. Why do we have a kind of, you know, district fellowships? Like, we have a district fellowship here, and why we made a district fellowship? Because we should... That will give chances for us to take care of the people coming out in the district fellowships, because there are many people attending this church, and many people, you know, we can't figure out how they live and their life, and so this fellowship will make us the help to understand, to find out, you know, how your brothers and sisters live. So love is like a helping. Love is like a sacrificing. God will, just as God had loved us, the love is, the love is like always flowing like the rivers, like springs. You know, it should flow over and over again. So if you love someone else, then you will understand the love of Jesus Christ more and more, and he will give you the power to love someone else more and more. The more you love someone, the more you understand the love of Jesus Christ. Some people says, you know, oh, this church doesn't have any love of Jesus Christ. You know, some people is all, you know, there's a people who always seeking for the other's help. You know, they will complain, you know, if there is no hopes of a no help. Actually, Jesus Christ, though, the love of a fountain, and if we don't have that kind of a fountain in our heart, then we can't love one another. So we should try to love others, we should try to love others, one another, the born again Christians, and we try not to receive the love from brothers and sisters. Some people, you know, even they are poverty, but they try to help the poor people. So maybe some people say, you know, feel burdens that to be helped by someone else's. So do not, you know, tell, you know, some people, you know, some brothers, you know, he's very poverty, so we can help him out. But don't say it out loud, I mean, in the public, but say, like, you know, we should help him. I mean, we should pray to God first, and then, you know, bring some of our brothers and sisters so we can discuss about how we can help those poor brothers and sisters. So that's what we should do, you know, actually. We should work ourselves and help those poor. There are many people who need our hands. So we should find out those poor people and help them out. As I loved you, you should love one another. The love is what? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. So if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. So we should do this love, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to 1 John. First John chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Beloved, if God also loved us, we also ought to love one another. So no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. So God is always those who love one another, and there's a God. And God will make His love in us. And after we saved, we should show our love by bearing fruit. So without His love, we can do nothing. There's nothing. Some people said, like, you know, they were loved, they received the love of God, but without His love, they can't keep their Christian life. So it's nothing left if we don't have the love of Jesus Christ. So, okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So, as we have known and believed the love that God has for us, so we have known the love of God. So God is love. D.L. Moody, who preached the gospel in the church, in the Chicago church, and he wrote on his church that he always emphasized on God, God is love. Because people might forget about the love of God. So, those who abide in God will love God. So we are like, you know, swimming in the love of God. So we remain in the love of God. Okay, let's read verse 19 and 20. Let's together. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has seen? I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love this brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So what is the way that we could love the invisible God? Is it loving visible brothers? So Peter says, you know, Jesus, you will know that I love you. But Jesus Christ said, you know, just feed my little lamb and just take care of my little church and take care of the little ships of Jesus Christ. That's what we love, how we can love Jesus Christ. So Peter, there's nothing Peter could do. Now he could do is that he should take care of the brothers and sisters in the church, and love brothers and sisters, and take care of the churches. That's what we do. That's what we do to Jesus Christ. Some brothers who are diseased or facing difficulties. Well, let's think about that brother is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, you know, we could tell Jesus Christ that, you know, when this brother actually diseased, we helped him. When this, you know, Jesus Christ jailed, when Jesus Christ disease, you know, if this even small things you did to brothers sisters could be equivalent with things that you did to Jesus Christ. So the things that you do to brothers is like the things that you do to Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ will praise you that all the things that you have done in this church and the things that you have done to brothers and sisters, that's the things that we did on behalf of the Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to verse 21. Let's read together. And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So, love his brother. And this commandment we have from him, this commandment is given from God. So he who loves God must love his brother also. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read together. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves his who is begotten of him. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's like we believe the Jesus Christ who came from the Lord. And also everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him. It's like those who love their parents who begot them will love their parents. And also, you know, their parents love their children in the same way, if they fight one another, then, you know, their parents will be very sad at it. So we should love, the children should love each other, one another, and the children who are begotten by the same parents should love one another. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 and 2, let's read together. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. So just like Jesus Christ, just like God, be followers of God as dear children, and as walk in His love, and just, you know, should you know, we should forgive brothers and sisters. It's just like Jesus Christ has forgave us. If you do not forgive brothers and sisters, then the God will not forgive you. That's what God says. Even though you're begging for the God to be forgiven, but you don't forgive others, then, you know, it could be ridiculous. Jesus Christ says, just as I forgive you, you should forgive brothers and sisters. Do in the love. We should do in the love. Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So love is like a sacrificing himself. Some people sacrifice himself. Some people lay down their lives for someone. Sometimes, you know, they sacrifice themselves for their fame. But I think that those things are all valueless and worthless. But if you sacrifice yourself for brothers and sisters, I think it's very, very glorious things. Now always be awakened and make an effort to love one another as time comes up. No. Above all, just, you know, make an effort to love one another, because at the end of this world, there will be no love. Love will be all fade away. Everyone will be selfish. Even their parent, the husband and wife, why they divorce? You know, in United States, you know, like almost 50% of the people get divorced in U.S. In Korea as well, 30% is, you know, getting divorced. Why these kind of things happen? Because they are very selfish. They are also center-minded of themselves. So they become like enemies even to their friends. They are very selfish. Even the world is getting like this, but church cannot do like that. But, you know, maybe church can't be do like that, even, you know, if brothers and sisters become like, you know, they're hurt-centered, then if they become like selfish, then, you know, this church will be perished. So without any fake, we should love brothers and sisters. You know, the fake is like some calculated unlove. You know, to try to make use of others, then it cannot be love. We received the love of Jesus Christ, and now we should do according to His love. Now we should preach this love of Jesus Christ. We should love and forgive one another, and we should help those who are weak, and so we should help those brothers and sisters who cannot be, you know, stumbled, so they can be remained in the love of Jesus Christ. Always abide in the love of Jesus Christ. If you abide in the love of Jesus Christ, you will abide in the love of God. And God will work with you, and God will be glorified with love of God. Okay, let's pray together. Merciful our Father, even though this world is full of things and disaster, we don't know that what will happen even in a day. It's very furious world we are living here. But you saved us from here, and you let us understand that your big love, and you let us live and gave us a hope that we can live with you. And you gave us love, and it's just, we cannot repay all the love that you gave us. And we were redeemed in the love of you, and we are living in the love of you. And you bought us, and with your precious blood, and you let us be with the Holy Spirit, and you connected us with your country. And even though we cannot repay all the love you gave us, but please let us live in the love of Jesus Christ, and please let us to show and prove the love of Jesus Christ the people, and please let us to keep your commandments. So let us to love one another, the brothers and sisters, and please let us to glorify the let us live glorify of you, and please work in us, and please take care of us and guide us. Please, we hope that we could glorify you, and please take care of every other people here, and please help with your love of and please let us to do the things that you try to do, and please let us to be preciously be used. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.